I want to talk to you about words. Women, we have so few. Words are amazing because they have the power to heal and they have the power to destroy. They can build up and they can tear down. So, can you think of a time, just take a second, can you think of a time when in a conversation or a comment someone made that really, really hurt, whether it was their intention or not? It just really hurt. I can remember when I was 17 and the guy I was dating in high school, we were at University of Illinois because he was a tennis player. He was like placed first in the state or something in doubles. So I had gone down to University of Illinois to watch him play in the state finals, and we're getting out of the car. He got out of the car. I'm really over this, but I remember it really clearly, even though I'm over it. And he opened the door. He came around and opened the door. That was a long time ago, and guys used to do that. And I got out of the car. And in high school, you need to know, one of my great shames was I had acne. I had it pretty bad. And so I got out of the car, and he takes his hand. He's such a gentleman, helps me up. And then as he closed the door, kind of almost under his breath, but to me, he just goes, "Miss Seacamp." That was my maiden name. And sometimes, just to be sweet, he called me Miss Seacamp. He goes, "Miss Seacamp, we've got to do something about your face." See, now you're not over it, but I am, so I have forgiven him. But I don't think he meant it bad. He knew that it was a big deal to me, but I still remember it clearly. There are other things along the way that I remember that were hurtful. What I don't want to remember, all the times I've said something that someone else would call one of their scars. But words have power. Now, take a second. Can you remember something someone said that was the perfect word at the perfect time? And it just built you up. Like, you can still remember. You can feel the feeling of what it meant to be cared for like that, to be affirmed. I get cards from people in our church sometimes, because this is where I work, and from my kids or friends, and that are like just the perfect card at the perfect time with the perfect words. And I save those. Not because I think I'm all that, but because I go through seasons where I take them out so I can remember who I am. Because I've got all the brokenness going on, but it can crowd out the good that God's put in me that other people see that I don't always. So words have great power when they're authentic. Authentic words have power. If someone just, you know, like tells me, "You're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. You're so skinny. You're," it's like, yeah. "You have the best skin, especially this part." Authentic words. I had someone say to me one time, and they meant it as a high compliment, You don't act like someone that's as old as you are." Okay. It's like, but it's one of those things, words, right? Words. And in the movie, The Help, or the book, if you read that back, and I think the movie came out like 2011, Viola Davis played a character called Abilene, and she was my favorite, one of my very favorite characters in the movie. And she was a black housekeeper and nanny to a white family, and it's set in the 60s, and it was all about racial tensions and inequality and that kind of thing. But Abilene was a dear soul, and little girl named May Mobley was a little girl that she was raising, whose mother was very disconnected from her. She was not attentive or anything else. And Abilene, every day, every chance she got, you'll know the words, she would lean down, look May Mobley right in the eyes and say, "You is kind, you is smart, you is important." And she would tell this little girl, who's probably about 2, 3 in the movie, "You is kind, you is smart, you is important. And when she's leaving, she finally had to leave the family, there was a bunch of stuff went on. The last thing she said to this little girl with tears, because she wanted her to remember as she got older. Words are powerful. They're powerful. And if our words have that much power, and they do, imagine a bazillion times more the power of the Word of God. When He speaks, man, He speaks and things happen. Words that spoke the world into existence. Words that displayed unparalleled beauty. Words that exerted inexplicable power and gave life that is our reality today. He spoke and it was. That's the power of this Creator God. He just said it and it was. And this week when you worked in your workbook and hopefully read Genesis 1, and it's just so amazing. Now, if you've been in church a long time, read the Bible, been churched, you've read Genesis, you've done the whole Sunday school thing. If you're raised in church like I was, been through Genesis, I think it seems like every Sunday school class started with Genesis, which is okay. It's the first book of the Bible. And a different craft every year as you got older. But He created it all. And sometimes when we read the same thing often, we lose a little bit of what it was, what it was intended. Now, you need to know that this, Genesis 1, is not a science book. It's not a textbook on exactly how the world was created. It's a poem, a ballad, a hymn, a lyric. It was written that way, that lights up or exalts God as powerful, creator, loving, and beautiful. We know who created the world, and we know why He created the world. Because He wanted man. He wanted to be in relationship with humanity, so He created humanity. Now, there are people who get, there are huge theological arguments about whether He did each one in one day, 24-hour period. Now, I don't want to rock anybody's foundations, but God didn't speak in English, and when He said day, there wasn't even a sun or a moon, so 24 hours wasn't really an issue. Now, I know you can write that down and pray about it later, but that's English. So there's some, we don't understand all of it. But we do know that He did it. Now, I've had people say, God could not separate the firmament, which is the old King James, because we use that word, the firmament, in 24 hours. As though the whole point of creation was that 24-hour thing, to which I say, what does it mean to like split the firmament? They don't even know that, but surely God couldn't have done it in 24, could have done it in 24 hours, or He couldn't have done it in 24 hours, and therefore the Bible's bogus. So this doesn't make sense. You can't make all the animals in 24 hours. You can't make an animal. What do you care how long it took? It's like, it is, right? It's the Word of God that speaks and it happens. It's this amazing thing that we have to, in a way, suspend our reality. I believe it's a fact. But our reality, our scientific minds, our huge brains, cannot wrap around it. We have to settle with this. God spoke and it happened and it was. I want to briefly read, if you read Genesis 1, if you haven't ever read it in The Message, I want to encourage you to do that. It's really beautiful, and I don't want to take time to read the whole thing. But I want to read just a couple portions. I pulled a few verses out to get a picture of what this hymn or lyric sounds like in different kind of not biblical language in the same way. I'll start with verse 24 and 25 and then jump down and then jump down again. God spoke, earth, generate life. Every sort and kind, cattle and reptiles and wild animals, all kinds. And there it was. Wild animals of every kind, cattle of all kinds, every sort of reptile and bug. God saw that it was good. God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. God blessed them. Prosper, reproduce, fill earth, take charge. Be responsible for fish in the sea and birds in the air, for every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. And then jumping down to verse 31, God looked over everything He had made. It was good. So very good. It was evening. It was morning. Day six. It's beautiful. It's like, that's what it is. It's not a scientific account. It's Creator God, the powerful Word of God speaking into existence, everything that exists. What was it like before him? I don't know. It's amazing power. And only God is ever called in the Bible, ever called Creator. No one else is ever called Creator. Because creation means taking, making something from nothing. And everything we make, we need raw material for. We can make it different. We can make it new. Some of you that are cooks create things, but not out of thin air. Those of you who are artists, you use stuff to make your art. Creator God, he spoke life into existence, and he spoke you into existence. He spoke me into existence. Quite a God. It is beyond my ability, and probably yours, to picture it all. You have God, the triune God there, existing in some reality that we can't imagine. There's some chaotic, it says the Spirit of God like went back and forth over the face of the deep, whatever the deep was. It's human words trying to put to something that is inexplicable, not understandable for us. God begins to speak into the chaos and bring life, order, purpose, and reproduction. He created the earth for his final creation, humankind, Adam and Eve, and their progeny, all of us who would come after them. Because he says to them, look what I made for you. You like my flowers, my trees, my fruit? How about the frog? How about the rat? I don't know what that's about. No, you could take that one back. He builds creation, then he builds humankind. He says, for you, take care of it. We haven't done so good on that, but we haven't done so good on taking care of ourselves either, have we? And yet we're created in the image of God. That's what he made us for. That is a stunning thing. And yet, mankind, we continuously rebel and sin. We choose to believe that we know better than God, and God keeps making a way. He keeps making a way over centuries through sacrifices and laws for humanity, for us to be in close relationship with him. So this Creator God, Creator Father, Creator Son, Creator Holy Spirit, was and is and always will be. Forever and ever, he is eternal. You and I come along at this particular time on that eternal scale. We exist now at this point in history, and we are invited into the life God created. He invites you. Look what I made. Look what I made. I made it for you. I made you for me. That's what he's done. For here and into eternity. In John 1, 1 through 5, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was fully God. The Word was with God in the beginning. All things were created by him, and apart from him, meaning the Word, Jesus, not one thing was created that has been created. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. And the light shines on in the darkness, but the darkness has not mastered it. The darkness of this world, sin cannot snuff out the light that is God, that is Jesus Christ, that is the Holy Spirit, that is us who have the Spirit of Christ in us. Sometimes it feels like it, doesn't it? I mean, I think the news is, yeah, if all you do, I have people, literally, they call me for counseling because they're so depressed about the news. Stop watching it. I mean, literally, I talked to her. She goes, well, how will I know what's going on? Do you wanna? Do you need to? Like, look, two highlights. Just get it on your phone. The two big headlines of the day. But, you can watch news like 24 hours a day. And just stop it. Sorry. It's not in my notes. That was a freebie right there. The darkness will never snuff out the light. The darkness can never win against the light that's in it. That's why the Word that created comes along now and says, I made it all. I'm still in it. There is still life and there still is hope. How did he do it? In John 1:14, it says, "The Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We saw his glory, the glory of the one and only, full of grace and truth, who came from the Father." Christ came. The Word came. The Word becomes Jesus, who we know. Word in the flesh, who built his tent in our neighborhood. It's literally what it means. Such a beautiful thing. 1 Corinthians 8:6 says, "If after all there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things and for whom we live, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all are all things and through whom we live." From Christ, everything came at creation, and in him we live. The same power that spoke creation into being lives inside of you by the Holy Spirit. Whoa, those are powerful words. When God says you are beloved, when he says you have a purpose, when he says you are not to be ashamed, when he says you have been given gifts and abilities in this planet, when he says you'll never be alone, when he says he heals the brokenhearted, when he says he places orphans in families and widows in families, he means it. That's a powerful word. It's not a Hallmark card, ladies. The same word that spoke this earth into existence speaks to you today through worship, through his word, which we must be in, through prayer, through listening to him. The same power that spoke everything into existence speaks to you right this moment. Speaks to me. Nothing better than that. In Hebrews 1:1-3, it says, "After God spoke long ago in various portions and in various ways to our ancestors through the prophets, in these last days he's spoken to us in a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he created the world. The Son is the radiance of his glory and the representation of his essence, and he sustains all things by his powerful word." That's how we keep going. "And so when he had accomplished cleansing for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." Jesus did this for our life. He took care of forgiveness of sin in us, in anyone who would choose it, through the cross. And then he said, "It is very good." And he sat down at the right hand of the Father, where he goes, "That one's mine. Father, show mercy. She's really going through a lot." He sits up there on an advocate. He's on our team. He mediates for us. The word that spoke all things into existence is speaking on your behalf. Mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling and wonderful. The power of the word to create everything. Think of the stars, the ocean. They're the tiniest, tiniest perfect flower. Think of Yosemite, if you've ever been to Yosemite. Think of Purple Mountain's majesty among the fruited plain. Never mind. God created all of it, and he created you. He's big and powerful, and he loves you beyond words. At your worst, on your worst day, with your worst attitude, with your biggest broken heart, God adores you. The power of the universe adores you. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "So then, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. What is old has passed away. Look, what is new has come." I'm being recreated every day. I'm so grateful. Don't be done. Don't be done, God. I'm not done. I was talking with Jill a little bit ago and about how I get myself in these seasons where I get overwhelmed, and I'm mature, so I've been around the block a couple of times, 67 of them or so, and but I work myself into these same pickles. And it's like, at what point do I get smart? Maybe when I'm 68, I don't know. Some point, when do I get smart? I'm not done yet. God, don't stop recreating me. But in Christ, all things are made new. We get to be made new, ladies. Don't stop. Don't give up, because he hasn't. We are recreated in him every moment that we look to him. I've told you this before, but I have an issue with food. I love it and I hate it. It's my anesthetic. It's my pacifier. It's my reward system. It's my punishment. It's everything. I use food to do all those things. And so I'm always fighting it. And I did a lot of traveling this summer, and I've had just a lot of more emotional things going on in my life, a lot of directions. And so how have I dealt with that? Food. And so I go to Weight Watchers. I don't know why. I don't go to the meetings. I go once a week so I can be humiliated. That's what I do. It's like, it's punishment. So I went when I went in after all my travels. I guess it's been a month, and I had put on like 5 pounds. The worst part is I have to lose the same 5 pounds again. I already lost it. Well, probably about 40 times, but I have to lose it again now, and I hate that. So I thought I was doing a little better, but you need to know I don't count points and I don't go to meetings. I just weigh in. And so, but one day I'm gonna nail this thing. So I went back and thought, at least if I can stay the same, put on 3 more. And the gal, her name's Roberta where I go, and she's so sweet, and she goes, "But you keep coming back." Yes, I do. Because I love me some shame. See, it's about, I'm not done yet. I'm not done being recreated in every facet of my life. And there's so many others that are not as funny as my weight. When we see the power of the world's creation, magnificence out of chaos, beauty out of blackness, life out of nothingness. How can we think so small of what God can and does do in our life? How can we reduce him to someone who doesn't have the power to fix this? He doesn't have the power to help me master food. He doesn't have the power to fix this broken marriage, this broken family relationship, whatever it might be. He's God. His word has power. He has the power to recreate our thoughts and emotions, our sin, our future, our hope, our purpose. Nothing is too hard for God. The Bible, God asks this question in the Bible, is my arm too short? No. The answer is no. So how do we guard and maintain our belief and awe in this beautiful and powerful God? How do we keep coming back, reminding ourselves that he is enough? He's enough. One thing is we have to choose daily, not based on feeling. We choose daily to believe that he is. We just say it to ourselves. In one of our pastoral meetings, Tom talked about making proclamations. He read it in a book, and he's doing it, and it's really helped me. And basically, 2, 3, 4, whatever it is you'd have, like I wrote them on a card. So I have these cards, and every morning I just read it to myself. It's basically that. This. Today, there will be divine appointments and sacred moments with God and with others. I say that to myself. I choose to be present and ready. Am I always? No. But I start my day telling myself that. Another proclamation. I am dearly loved by this beautiful and awesome God, having nothing to do with anything I do. I need to remind myself of that. I don't know what it is for you, but prayerfully, like, make a couple proclamations and tell yourself, remind yourself of what's true of this amazing God and how he loves you. And then God gave me this one. Food will not fix it. I tell myself that every day. And a few times it's helped, and it's getting there. It's just a new proclamation. Food will not fix it. So choose daily. Choose to think a different way. Let God transform you, it says in Romans 12, by changing the way you think. That's the journey. Scripture and prayer. We must have scripture and prayer to be in relationship with God, to know Him, to let Him speak His proclamation to us. That's why we have Bible studies, to study the Bible. Not just to keep you out of trouble, to give you full life, so that you can continue to be recreated into the person you want to be and God made you to be. And then living in community, living out discipleship, loving care, accountability, patience, and service. I'm preaching to the choir because you're doing it. You come here, you have friends, you sit in worship together, you go to tables, and hopefully you're pretty honest about where you are and stuff. That's what it means to be in community. Living with mirrors. I don't like mirrors in the physical realm, but I need them. It's hard to have mirrors in my life in the emotional friendship realm, but I need it. That's what community is for us, and we need it. The Bible is not written to show us who lived exemplar lives. They all failed at perfection. It's not about all the fabulous people in the Bible. It's about a God who was in their life. It's about God to show us this beautiful, gracious God who does amazing things with and through imperfect people just like us. That's what the Bible's filled with. In your book, it says, I don't know if this Amy or Cheryl, or they got it from someone else, but it says this: the Bible is a book about the grace of God, not the goodness of humanity. That's encouraging to me. It's that. So know Him. Choose Him. Choose it to know God. Jesus, the Word of God from before creation. Who He is spoke into existence, everything that is, and speaks into existence today who you are. Amazing. Father, would you take these words, Lord, whatever is really true of you, plant them as seeds in our hearts. God, I don't want to be someone who makes you mediocre because I'm mediocre. Lord, I pray even at this moment, be high and lifted up. Be exalted, O Lord, above the heavens. Let your glory be seen over all the earth, in us, through us, in the people and the lives we touch. God, become bigger in us. Teach us how to make you bigger in us so that we can live out and proclaim a God that is bigger than other people's stuff too. Seems like a big prayer, Lord. But we pray it, we trust it, we entrust it to you. In Christ's name, amen.